You are listening to KBUT Community Radio, 90.3 in Crested Butte, 88.9 in Gunnison, and worldwide at KBUT.org. This is On the Record, heard every other Wednesday from noon to 2 p.m. We listen to some good tunes, and we catch up with local nonprofits here in the Gunnison Valley. On this week's show, we're going to learn a little bit more about one of Crested Butte's oldest traditions, Flowshink. Flowshink is, at its core, a celebration of spring created by a handful of Crested Butte locals. This was quite a few decades ago now, and the idea is to kind of flush out the winter, celebrate another good ski season, and welcome spring. We have Glow Cunningham here in the studio to talk about the history of this tradition and how it got started. Glow serves as the outreach director and tour guide for the Crested Butte Heritage Museum. Glow, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a great week. Kind of makes you like a double-edged sword. It's kind of sad, bittersweet. You know the ski year is closing, but you also know it's party time, you know, and it starts off kind of with Disco Inferno, which KBUT does, and that was extremely successful. If you guys didn't go, you should have gone, and if you hadn't gone, you better go next year because it is wicked fun.
Well said.
Yeah.
It was super, super fun. And you're right. It kind of kicks off the start of spring. We're slowing down a little bit. It's the final week on the mountain. So can you give us a little rundown of how Flowshink got started and what the history is there?
Sure. It's pretty great. Wonderful information. You had it pegged perfectly. Basically, George Sibley, a wonderful guy named Chuck Wirtz, who was a bartender in town, and a gentleman named Art Norris, who was a business professor at Western State. The story has it, and I get it straight from the horse's mouth because George has told me this story quite a few times. 1969, George had started here and was a ski patroller. Hadn't really skied before, but was hired as a ski patrol. I think there were like 9 or 10 of them.
Wow.
You know, and so for a couple years, he was like, it's just so boring. It's just like the ski area ends and nothing happens. It's just so kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah.
And so George and Art and Chuck were sitting around at the Grubstake, which at that time, I know it's three different little buildings, but I came here in 75, and the Grubstake was the big bar that all the bands, because that was the biggest place for the bands to be. And so they were in there having a drink, and they just said, let's make something more exciting happen. Let's have the ski area go out with a bang. Let's be thrilled, just like what you said. Haven't had a good ski season, and we're getting in exactly what Flowshink stands for, flushing out of the winter and welcoming the spring. Hence, when you see the king and queen, they have a toilet plunger as their scepter because you are flushing out the winter. And I just want to let you know, if you guys ever want to do a costume, because I still have my scepter too, a 16-ounce pint glass fits perfectly in a scepter, so you can either have a beer or, in my case, a margarita. And it fits in the scepter beautifully. So they decided to do that. That was 1969. And so they decided, one of the things too that I felt was a really good thing when people first moved here, and it was really the young crowd, the ski area opened in 60, 61, so you started getting some younger people in here. You had mainly the miners, and the miners had been here for all the decades. The mine actually closed in 52. The train tracks were pulled up in 55. It was a very hard time for a while there in that 7-8 years of the difference between the mine closing and the ski area opening. And so the people that stayed here were really tough. We talk about how the miners were tough. The guys that could take that transition in what was almost like its own Crested Butte's own little depression going on. There was no work. There was, you know, hardly anybody here. The mine had actually ended up, we had like 1,500 people here in town in 52. And when the mine closed, the company, CF&I, Colorado Fuel and Iron, actually offered jobs to people in Trinidad because they discovered coal there. And it was going to be cheaper to bring the coal from there to Denver and Colorado Springs and Boulder, where mostly the supply was needed, the demand was needed for that. And so about 1,200 people left town. Because when you talk about a Catholic family, and it was mainly Eastern Europeans, you know, you got grandma, you got auntie, you got the husband, you got the wife, you got 10 kids. So one minor leaves, you got 12 people leaving. So like 1,200, 1,300 people left and took the town down to a couple hundred people. And so all the people that were offered jobs in Trinidad, they took it. And so move fast forward, you've got the ski area. Well, as we've always been so proud of ourselves, we're at the end of the road, you know, it's hard to get to. Those first few years, it wasn't really very populated here, let's just say, for the ski area and for people coming here. It finally gained recognition. And then younger people, particularly a whole bunch from the New England area. There were quite a lot of people that came from the New York area that ended up opening Penelope's. Eric Romer kind of came, and Lynn Heitche, and all these people that came that opened Penelope's and the Nickel and places like that and brought good business to town. But anyway, so it was a younger crowd mixing with the older miners. And one of the things that George had talked about was I felt as a woman coming here, I came in 75. I was extremely welcomed by the miners. It was the older men, and they were very happy to have young, blonde, fit ski women in town to chit-chat with and to talk to. The men were not quite as welcomed by these miners, but nonetheless, it was a bit of a rough time for the miners to accept these, and I'm going to just say hippies, which a lot of people kind of refer people to. But, you know, the younger people, younger thinking people, free thinkers. And so it was a bit of a rough time, but many of the people really did accept you. And if you were honest and had integrity and just had a good soul and a good person, you were welcomed. And so, you know, we actually even snubbed some people who were jerks and just ran them out of town, kind of, you know, because we didn't want them here. But nonetheless, George and Chuck and Art really wanted to help meld the two groups. So when they started flashing, when they started crowning the king and the queen, they made sure there was an old timer and a young person as the king and queen. So sometimes the woman would be the old timer and then there would be a young man or vice versa. The first king and queen were actually, it was Chuck Wirtz. And, his sister got to be the queen in the early days. And so you had the old-timers mixing with the younger people. Like Sandy Courtner was a younger person in town, and she was a queen in those early days. It was great the way they kind of tried to meld it. It doesn't happen so much that way. But I have to say, I mean, having been a has-been, which I feel very blessed and lucky and fortunate to have been a king or a queen, and the title for someone who is no longer royalty at the moment, you are a has-been. And so I have been lucky enough to be a has-been. But it's great the way I am still to this day. The Flushing Committee picks the king and queen. And you have the schedule in the paper, and people know the schedule. The coronation ball is on Friday night. And so the king and queen, there's Sherry Vandervoort does this amazing poem about the people who are getting crowned. And it's so cool because you start listening. You think, oh, it might be her, might be him, might be her. And then as the details come out, oh, no, it's not her. Oh, no, it's him. And it's all exciting. And sometimes people don't even know they're it.
Well,
you know, and a lot of times, too, the bar's very noisy. They're in the back of the bar. Someone has to run and grab them and say, you're the king, you're the queen. You know, they go running up and they're pretty thrilled. But they have this knack of pairing up perfectly right people. I don't ever know how they do it. I do remember like one of my old time dear friends, Tracy Wicklin and Steve Snyder. They were singers and musicians and they paired them up. How great. So those guys were singing all over the place in their capes and in their crowns, you know. Or sometimes like radical skiers like Lynn Moore and Buck Mile. They were just amazing skiers and they're the ones that started skiing to the peak as the king and queen, you know. And every little king and queen kind of adds their little thing. And tomorrow at noon at the Silver Queen is the Royal Run.
Right.
And so if you want to meet the flashing people, you can go there. And that's a new thing that's happened. I'm talking new in the last 10 years and stuff when you talk about something that started in 69. You know, something can be pretty new. That's like 56 years ago or whatever it is. So, but yeah, the different people have done different things. And like Johnny Biggers, you know, printed a purple floshing hat that all the Hazmans have. And, you know, you get it out at floshing week, you know, start wearing your purple hat, you know, and stuff like that. So it's really, it's been amazing how it's grown. And, you know, it's a little bit of a small celebration when you look at the parade. Well, it's nothing like the 4th of July parade, which, of course, we know is over-the-top crazy
right.
with thousands and thousands of people. We're happy if 200 people come. Also, because the ski area is closing, a lot of people are skiing. But we're having partying and fun anyway, you know, because it's the Saturday for the parade. And you're showing off the king and queen, you know, at the parade after being crowned.
So much fun. So I know... Once you're crowned, you kind of have royal responsibilities, royal duties. What do you get to do once you become Flauschenk royalty?
Well, as a king or a queen, as speaking luckily from experience, it's so fun to be the queen. It's really great. And my king was, of course, everybody feels like their king is the best. Mine was totally the best. I had Ted Bosler. As my king, and have Ted Bosler as my king. It's not a pass. He is my king. I am his queen. And I hope he doesn't mind me saying this story, but Friday night we're crowned, and he's going to go in, because he was the owner of the Eldo with Mike, and, you know, and so we're heading over there to, you know, just be in his bar and say, hey, I'm the king, you know. And it was pretty fun. We walk in there, and he goes, my queen, Glow, she never pays for a drink all year. You know? And I'm like, rock star. You know, he was lucky because I don't drink that much. You know, maybe once every 2 weeks I'll go and have two drinks. So he was lucky he had a queen that wasn't quite a drinker, because the Eldo didn't really lose that much money. Sorry, Mike. I hope you didn't know. You know, that upset you. But anyway, just good fun, you know. And so it's just great. But, you know, you get to just do whatever. I mean, there was a, I don't know if I should tell this story. Maybe I'll just leave out the names. But one time there was a queen, and I was walking down the Elk Avenue with her, just past the talk of the town, and a citizen of the kingdom came by and shot a moon. And, you know, dropped his trowel, shot him, and we all were clapping and laughing and thought it was the greatest thing ever. You know, but we're walking on because the queen wants to continue on. And so all of a sudden I turn around, and a cop, who shall remain nameless also, stopped the kid and said, you know, like giving him grief. And I said, Your Majesty, we've got to go back. You know, the cop is back there giving that dude grief, you know. And so she goes back, and she's like, what are you doing? And he said, look, you know, you can't have, this can't be going on in town. What makes you think this should go on in town? And she said, because I am the queen. And a cop looked at her and went, okay.
Oh,
and he didn't
gosh.
Give the guy a ticket. He didn't do anything. The guy was thankful to the queen. He left. We left. Everybody was happy. But it was just, you know, she was just so cute and just thought on her feet right away. You know, you can't give my subject a ticket. He was just doing something I enjoyed.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Pretty fun. Pretty fun.
I'm assuming you're also familiar with this year's Flauschenk royalty, Tracy and Ben.
Absolutely. Over the top. Yes. I had one of my funnest nights at Disco Night with the King. I followed him through all the people. We danced for about a half an hour together, and it was just so fun having people just, and they have been a fantastic king and queen. They've really been out there a lot. They've really, you know, and as the king and queen, you can do whatever you want to do. You know, you can just go anywhere and do anything. And I think it's a great thing about our community, too. I found as the queen, they didn't make me pay admission to certain things because I had my cape on.
Right.
And they're happy to have you flit around for a little bit, even if you're only just there for a few minutes. But, you know, and Tracy working at the center and being able to put her cape on all the time with all the events. I mean, she nonstop would almost always, at the end of an event, have her cape on and say, thanks for coming, nice to have you here, you know. And then a lot of people who didn't know what Flauschenk was, she could tell them and could help educate them. And then, of course, Ben was always ready to go out. They were just a really good bunch, and they egged each other on, you know. She was saying the other day, yeah, I called Ben. He said, I'm not sure. She goes, what? And he goes, okay. And then they came out, and they had a ball, you know. So you can go out and do pretty much anything you want to. You can make things happen. I mean, like, I think it was Veronica Jerelnik that started the Royal Ruckus. She just decided that something new needed to be happening a few weeks before flushing happened. And so there's this great party at Kachievers with the has-beens, and probably 20, 30 has-beens show up.
Yeah.
You know, it's great fun, you know.
That's wild. Yeah. No, I've loved our royalty this year. I'm a little biased because Tracy's with KBUT, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and, of course, they came in for pledge drive and just had the
best
show.
I came in, too. It was great.
Yeah. It was really, really fun.
Raise money, yeah.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, she's the Witch's Brew. So
yeah, coming up next.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. She is next. That's right. Today's Wednesday. Anyway, so good fun. And, like, I'm just going to have to plug it because tonight, for all of you who are just getting in the mood, it's the beginning, sort of the real beginning of Flushing and the whole 5-day celebration. And it's at the museum, and it's at 7 o'clock. And Dr. Duane, the most amazing historian ever in the planet for Gunnison County, period, bar nothing. He'll be, and he's so cute because, like, he stopped me and said, "Glo, I've got some new slides in there." You know, so even if you've seen it before, and then he tells different stories about them, and you know, if you ask him a question, he'll answer the stories and stuff like that. So he's very, very excited. I think doors open at 6:30, and the show starts at 7 tonight. And it's just a great way to kick off Flushing, and a lot of the royalty will be there, a lot of the has-beens, you know, having a lot of fun. And just, I love that the museum can be a part of something like this too. I think that was kind of something that I got lucky to do when I was the director. It was always the talk for the longest time. And then I just said, why isn't it the museum? And I like it because now I think some parents feel their kids can come there. Because of the talk, it was getting a little rowdy, which is, you know, pegging that fun meter, starting to get rowdy for Flushing. But it's just a family thing. Please come and bring everybody and just come and enjoy and, you know, pay a little homage to the king and queen who are leaving. And they've done such an excellent job. Ben and Tracy, as you mentioned, they've done such an excellent job of being king and queen. So it's good fun. Good
it's
fun for
fun.
Sure.
Yeah. And for those just tuning in, we are chatting with Glo Cunningham. She's the outreach director and tour guide for the Crested Butte Heritage Museum. And we're learning about Flushing, which is, like you said, happening right now.
Yep.
Tonight, there's going to be a historical slideshow for a Flushing tale that's presented by, like you said, Duane Vandenbush, and George Sibley will be there as well. And it starts at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you'd like folks to know about Flushing?
You know, I think exactly what George and the three of them wanted to do. It helps the ski area go out with a bang, from my point of view. I was actually quite sad these last 2 years, but not this year. The Grand Traverse happened to be on the same weekend. And it made me really sad because I've helped with the Grand Traverse every single time. But I didn't go over to Aspen for the only two times in my history with the Grand Traverse because I had to be here for Flushing. You know, I couldn't not be here. So, it's just a wonderful occasion. It's a wonderful celebration. I think people really are starting to feel, and you can see, I mean, it is springish. I mean, for us here. Yeah, I called someone and said, "Oh, my God, it's so spring." And they went, "What? Yeah, it's 42 degrees there in Florida. It's like 84. You know, they're like, "Yeah, right, Glo. It's really spring. Right? You know, what are you talking about? You know." But anyway, you can feel spring in the air. You can feel people are excited about, you know, the changing. And then a week after this, the schools close, so people are planning to have great trips and all the great adventures of all our Uber athletes. I've been talking to people just last night. We were talking, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to Albania. Oh, yeah, I'm going to Costa Rica. Oh, yeah, I'm going to the Caribbean. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to Utah." You know, just all the things and the adventures everybody does around here. So this is kind of a have a good time, see your friends, catch up a little, and then head off to your adventures and come back and regroup and tell them all about how the fun you had, you know?
Yeah. I like that you brought up, too, that historical background of, you know, this is kind of typically a harder time for the Crested Butte community. It's off-season, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and this is kind of a good time to go celebrate and be a part of the community.
And be with your friends and connect to them. I mean, obviously, I love the fact this is the green light month and, you know, all the poles. I just love that they started doing that. All the light poles on Elk Avenue are wrapped in green lights now. It's just a good thing, and we have to remember, because we've had a lot of people that we've had have a lot of problems, and we've lost some.
Yeah.
And it's very sad, but just remembering that, grab a friend that you think is a little down tonight and just double it up, mental health and flashing, put them together and just say, let's go to the museum, I'll treat, I'll pay that 10 bucks or what the heck ever it is, you know, and just go and have them realize the beauty and the connection that this community has and gives to people. And that, I think that one bus says, you're not alone. You know, just reach out to friends and be considerate and be kind and think about somebody that you think might be having a hard kind of week or for whatever reason, and just get them all involved in flashing, because there's nothing more fun than seeing all your friends dancing the polka or laughing and giggling or doing a social with a, you know, pint of beer and just connecting with our family here in Crested Butte, because it's so important.
Well, you heard it here first. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks, dear.
Thank you so much for coming on the air with us, Chloe. And tomorrow, the community is invited to take a run with our flashing royalty on the mountain. Queen Tracy Hastings and King Ben Eaton will be ready to ride. You can meet them at the Silver Queen Lift at noon. And like Glow mentioned, on Friday, April 5th, we're going to kick off the 56th annual Coronation of Pokeball. That is at Kachievers at 8 p.m. featuring the Pete Dunda Polka Band. That's not it. On Saturday, April 6th, we will have the world-famous Flashing Parade on Elk Avenue in the town of Crested Butte. That is starting at 10 a.m. sharp. Later that night, the new Flashing Royalty will be crowned, and you can see them for yourself Sunday, April 7th at the base area for the last day of skiing, which is pretty fun.
And they renamed the area. It's called Flashing Hill now.
Right.
And it's just above what used to be the Twister Worming House, and now it's Uli's, I think. And so just to ride above it, it's a very good thing to come and pay your respects to the new king and queen. There is a lot of fun, a lot of laughter, a lot of music, a lot of camaraderie, just a good time. And even just slip by on a run. You don't have to take your skis off. You just pop in, bow to the king and queen, and then head on your way and keep on skiing, you know. It's a good time. It's had by many.
That's right. You are listening to On the Record. I'm Kate Knapp, joined by Glow. Thanks again for joining
us. Thanks, darling. Appreciate it.
Don't go anywhere. We've got some more music coming up.